This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, presenting an all-new Star Wars series, The Acolyte. Stream the 2-episode premiere June 4th and witness an investigation into a shocking crime spree where secrets will emerge and no one is safe from the truth. The Acolyte, 2-episode premiere, streaming June 4th only on Disney Plus.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Yusuf Kwanga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, man. How are you?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. Yeah.
We're recording this Sunday morning because we can't do Monday, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we're going to miss out on Sunday afternoon's game. So if there's a wild result in Sunday afternoon stuff, apologies. We'll touch on it maybe on the next show because we're going to do Champions League again this week. Thanks to everyone who came to the Writers House live show in London. It was very fun indeed.
Yeah, it's great. Loved it.
I think today we're going to talk a little bit about Premier League. We'll talk obviously about, we'll big up Ipswich, who went up.
Yes.
Great to have them back in the Premier League. In fact, let's do that first. Let's big up Ipswich for getting back into the Premier League after 22 years. They sealed it with a 2-0 win over Huddersfield at home.
Two straight promotions.
On Saturday.
Back to back.
Back to back promotions.
Unreal.
96 points with a squad that's kind of, there are a lot of those players there from when McKenna took over.
And he took over and they were 12th in League One.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's one of the best footballing stories this season.
It's incredible.
I think.
Yeah.
You heard from a pal of yours?
I was going to drop him a line, actually. As I can drop a line today. Congratulations. I'll be in touch with them.
I'm really excited to see Ipswich back in the Premier League.
It's so cool.
I'm also really excited to see Kieran McKenna in the Premier League. As a, obviously, he's been in the Premier League as an assistant, but as a head coach.
In his own right, yeah.
I think it's always intriguing because some clubs, when they come up from the Championship, they just kind of get it straight away and they're fine.
For sure, they take to it.
But this season, as we've seen, like we might have all three promoted teams going down again.
Mm. I'm just looking forward to them playing football. Like they're a team that play in quite an expansive way. I mean, look, Burnley came up playing gorgeous style of football. Didn't work out for them. They just couldn't. This is the problem with the Premier League, unfortunately. It's the personnel to move the ball through those gaps. So I'm fascinated to see how Ipswich match up. I'm worried it'll end up being, and this is not a knock at all, you look at some of the football Luton have played and just that openness invites, you get incredible football and very entertaining games, but keeping it tight is a challenge. Mm. I hope that Ipswich can play expansive football they've been playing in the Championship, but they'd have a bit of a wobble actually. I hope they can play the expansive football they played in the Championship, but also manage to keep it tight at the back. That's what I'm excited about. It's going to be interesting to see who they might displace actually in the Premier League. Mm. I mean, already looking ahead. So it's going to be fun.
And you never know, we might have a derby as well. Because
Norwich
are in the playoffs. Leeds against Norwich in the playoffs, Southampton against West Brom.
I saw a Norwich fan this weekend and he said, oh, like, if it was to go up on your podcast, don't mention it. Just don't talk about it at all. I was like, hey, dude, come on, man. Like,
come on.
I know.
While we're talking second tier, it was a pretty big weekend in the Zweite Bundesliga. St. Pauli lost the derby at HSV at the Volksparkstadion 1-0. Glatzel with a very late winner, 85 minutes, Robert Glatzel. I think St. Pauli had a couple of chances they could have done better with. That's kind of interesting this season that St. Pauli have only taken 1 point off HSV.
Mm.
They remain top, but we're recording this ahead of Holstein Kiel's trip to Wien Wiesbaden.
It's wild because a win would have taken them up actually as well.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll talk Real Madrid.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, man. Carlo Ancelotti has won another league title as his Real Madrid side clinched La Liga this weekend thanks to a 3-0 win over Cadiz. All goals coming in the second half, and not just the title being good news, also the return of Thibaut Courtois.
Yes.
Got the biggest roar of the night, probably. Well, apart from the goals, but the, he had a great save just before Diaz's goal.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was the biggest roar of the night, and then Diaz went on the other end and scored. But yeah, Real Madrid, champions again.
They are, they are. Extremely impressive the way they ground out. Can you grind out an entire league title? They kind of did, actually. It felt like the entire season, some part of the team was under construction. You know, it felt like there was always, it was almost like, almost named up to City. You know those cities that are always like, there's always something being built? Like they're never finished, like permanently. There's always some kind of banging or hammering or scaffolding. Real Madrid felt like they had scaffolding around them the entire season, whether it was a centre-back's being injured, or they needed to find goals from somewhere because they didn't have necessarily established centre-forward. And they sort of made it work. So you had Jude Bellingham, I think, top scorer, 18 goals. Rodrigo got 10. Vinicius got 13. Jos Celu chipped in a few others. Brahim Diaz. And then you just had people doing cameos off the bench. You had like Luka Modric, like super humble, come off the bench, playing 20 minutes at a time. Rudiger just having an unbelievable season because he seemed to never have the same partner for more than a few games at a time. And this is, look, this is not to sort of give Madrid too much sympathy because they have an astonishing cast of very expensive players. And also, it is a tribute to the selflessness of the players who basically just played anywhere. So you'll have Valverde playing at the base of midfield in the Champions League, and then right wing in another game, and then right or left centre mid. And they seem to generally not care where you put them as long as they get the result. Mm. And that's the thing I will always love about this era of Madrid. They don't care how it looks as long as they get the job done.
Oh, yeah. I think they've kind of felt a little bit like that for a while. Mm. But yeah, more so especially in the last few years. It's been an interesting period, I think, in La Liga in general, which is why them, I mean, kind of cruising to the title.
Totally, yeah.
In parts, it hasn't felt like a super vintage La Liga season, but then there have also been, I think that's just a way from maybe...
It's not vintage Madrid, but it's quintessential Madrid. It is.
Yeah, but I think in terms
typical,
of the league, yeah, it's because you've got some amazing stuff in there, like Girona, who beat Barcelona again at the weekend. I think they beat Barcelona twice this season.
Yeah.
It's only the second time Barca lost away this season, Real Madrid being the other.
Which is also weird given some of the games Barcelona have played.
In the league, it's so bizarre. Like they lost three games at home. You know, Atleti struggling.
So disappointing, Atleti. That's the thing as well. If we're going to get into it, like they, you're right, strangely transitional season. Barcelona in a bit of a mess with the coaching situation and also some of the recruitment has been uneven. And also the traditional giants being disappointing. I mean, Barcelona disappointing for various reasons, but Atleti actually, there's a real conversation to have there at the end of the season about how far they fell short. The only team to beat Madrid actually, to beat Real all season. And just so disappointing in so many ways. And like wasting a brilliant season from Antoine Griezmann.
Yep.
Like an it's a bit like LeBron at the Lakers. And you're like, this man is giving you gems time and again, but your supporting cast is just not getting it done. Mm. And that's how Atleti felt throughout. And I know Simeone's job is super safe. And it's not really about questioning his leadership to this extent. It's more like, this feels like a collective failure. I'm not sure if all the pieces are there, but I don't know. Look at the Dortmund defeat in the Champions League, the way that like Dortmund just picked apart Atleti. Like they were on a different level to Atleti in the Champions League. This felt like a real regression for them this year. And this sounds like we're kind of doing Madrid down. It's not. It's that Madrid held a level of consistency and they got the job done. Their challenges didn't make it happen.
Wouldn't it be just so Real Madrid if they actually kind of then went on and won the Champions League as
well?
Because they rested a few players on the weekend. Brought Bellingham on, brought on Vinicius, brought on Fede Valverde for the last 10 minutes. And then Bellingham came on and basically scored straight away.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was a lovely move, actually, to be fair. He started it kind of, well, the on the edge of the box, played it out to, was it played to Modric? Modric off to Diaz. I think Diaz squares it.
Bellingham has the ability to make huge games of football look like five-a-side in a cage.
Mm.
Like, just the moment he got the ball in the top of the box, the way he moves and he's like, okay, this is that give and go. Simple. I mean, he walked the ball into the net. And it's funny because it's also very fitting because that was the goal. I was talking about this earlier. Like, that was actually the goal that clinched the league, as it turned out, because that was the 2-0. And Cadiz had a little bit of a threat since then, until then, but you know, Modric, the outstanding player for Madrid. But just that moment just being so fitting. 18 league goals in your debut Wild. La Liga season.
Wild.
Ridiculous.
It's so wild.
It's unreal.
And he's not even a striker. Second in the top scorer for La Liga this season behind Artem Dovbyk.
Shout out to him for a great season.
Who scored again on the... I think he scored two on the weekend.
Porto got a couple. Porto got that volley from outside. Oh, the volley that clinched it against Barcelona. If anyone gets a chance to check that out.
Let's talk about that in a little minute, but let's on Real Madrid. The amazing thing, they managed to rest so many players. So many players, key players, didn't come off the bench for this game ahead of the Bayern second leg this week.
Mm. I cannot mention Madrid this year without mentioning the brilliance of Toni Kroos this year, who has
been unbelievable.
Unreal. This guy's basically played the bulk of the midfield. He's basically the bulk of the season without traditional partners of Modric and Casemiro. This is actually, like, in many ways, this is his late era masterpiece. Like, Modric's late era masterpiece is 2022, and this is Toni Kroos's, I think, absolute masterpiece.
On Ancelotti.
Mm.
It's his sixth league title, which I don't know why, but that feels...
Not enough.
Like, not a lot for him.
Mm.
But then I think we've probably... He's had such a strange career, Carlo Ancelotti, because he obviously did that stint at Milan, which was the longest stint he's done anywhere. What is it, eight, 9 years at Milan? But after that, the Chelsea, then to PSG... then to Real for the first time, winning La Decima, all of this stuff. We talked about how disrespected he was the first time around at Real Madrid. Then the Bayern gig, then a bit of time off, then the Napoli gig, and then the Everton job before then going back to Real. And actually, because his career wasn't in a great place post-Napoli, I don't think.
No, that's right.
I think there were probably clubs out there that you thought might have been more suited to his level as a coach, but I think they were all kind of locked up in terms of managerial positions. And they were being adventurous at the time, Everton. You know, they signed James Rodriguez as well, which was largely down to him. I think it feels like they're kind of paying the price for that now with some of the kind of PSR stuff.
It was the right move at the time, though. If he'd stayed there, it's a classic example of if he'd stayed and built on it, it would have been the right thing, I think.
But I also think that he kind of...
He galvanised
everyone. He seemed to really, really love it there. Like, he got very involved with stuff in the community. I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
Especially through COVID. Just someone who really got the club.
I loved Ancelotti at Everton, I'm not going to lie. I loved it.
Me too. And he really... I think he unlocked some real potential players as well. Like Calvert-Lewin, yeah. And there was that run. Weren't they top of the league for a while? In the COVID season or something? They were going pretty good. And I remember when he left and went to Real Madrid, because Real Madrid were in a bit of a mess, weren't they?
Mm.
And he said it was basically like, I would only leave for Real Madrid.
And a lot of people were quite salty about it, but I was like, it's Madrid. Like, his relationship with that club is... And I think it hurt people because deep down they knew that he belonged at the top table in Europe. And Everton, although they're a huge club, have not been at the top table in Europe for a while. Like, they didn't get their place in the sun in the 80s because of the ban, like all of that. They didn't get their moment. And I think it was harking back to that pain of, you're where we want to be. But the Real Madrid move was so natural for him. And there's, he hasn't won a huge amount of league titles, but Ancelotti's genius is more like, I'm trying to think of him and Pep. So imagine you've got a team of climbers who are going to climb Everest, right?
Okay.
Pep is the guy.
Where are we going?
Pep is the guy that takes them up the mountainside and basically hounds them up the hill. But Ancelotti's the guy at base camp that gives the team talk that makes them go, holy shit, we're not only going to climb this, we're going to enjoy it. Like, he is the guy that liberates, this is his genius, he liberates great players to play with the ultimate freedom and relaxation. He's like, I trust you, you'll get the job done, you'll climb that big rock. Like, he has that ability to make football seem not trivial again, but light again. And very, very few managers at the top level have that. That's why he wins so much in terms of the knockouts. That's why he's so good.
There have been moments through this run of Real Madrid manager, like his this stint at Real Madrid, where you've seen him kind of feel a little less under pressure because he came back at a point where they really needed someone and they really didn't have anyone, Real Madrid. And then he rocks up, he wins a Champions League, he then wins another league title. There was a little bit of noise about his contract, I think, and now it's just all quiet. It's just like, nope. It feels like for the first time in a long, long time, there hasn't been a huge amount of talk about the manager at Real Madrid. And we talked to, you know, six league titles for him. I think in that's just because of the clubs that he's managed. I think we would expect it to be more. But then actually, if you think about the times that he's managed those clubs and who they went up against, it's not really, I mean, it's kind of amazing. Winning six league titles as a manager is, that's some haul. And at Real Madrid specifically, he's now won the second most trophies as a manager in the club level with Zinedine Zidane behind Miguel Munoz.
Wild.
Who's on 14. So he's won, two Champions League, two leagues, two Copa del Reyes, two Club World Cups, two European Super Cups.
He's the Italian Del Bosque. Like, a lot of people doubt how good he really is, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. The same with Zidane as well. Like, those are three managers. They're quite similar in the sense that they are all people that people don't fully rate because of the quality of what they worked with. But look, you can look at Manchester United as a club that assembles a lot of talent and squanders it. You can look at Atleti. Like, there's a lot of talent in the Atleti squad and it gets squandered. Like, what I suppose I'm trying to say is what Ancelotti has done is not a given. That collection of players, I mean, put it this way, he's made Madrid a calm club. And anyone, like, we're a bit older, like, we grew up in a time when Madrid was a chaos club. Like, there were times when, I mean, Bayern and Madrid were, like, seen as what they called Bayern FC Hollywood, and Madrid was just full of noise. There was so much noise coming out of Madrid. Do you remember there was a time when it was always drama? There was always some kind of spat, feud. And with Ancelotti now, in this era, it's virtually silent. His most impressive attribute is the silence. And look, the beat Man City in the Champions League over two legs, that Manchester City, which is currently steamrolling its way to the Premier League, maybe again, it's with a team that's a makeshift team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this isn't the complete team. Yeah.
It's not to do that. So I just think all of that, I'm only saying this because it's difficult with all the money that go into Madrid to give people the due credit for the coaching job, because he will never quite get enough credit for what he's done this year. He won't.
And I think also as well, like, there was a weird thing with Ancelotti where I think people like loved him, but it felt like he wasn't, maybe this is just like modern football fandom, but it felt like, you know, at that kind of turn of the 2000s, early 2010s, it felt like he was never fully, fully respected. I wonder whether that thing at Chelsea did that, because people often see the, like, I mean, he still won stuff at Chelsea. He was amazing at Chelsea.
He got so disrespected at Chelsea.
I mean, he actually might be in line for one of the most disrespected managers.
Oh, that's sacking.
And it's funny that I think that I think that's turned, that kind of weirdly turned, I think, with the Champions League win a couple of years ago and the kind of cigar, right? And the dancing with the players. It was just like, no, this is now like officially Don Carlo. And then the whole Don Carlo thing kicked off. Can't really come at Carlo.
I think the Chelsea sacking was so embarrassingly wrong that people I think people almost blamed Ancelotti for it, because it was like, this was so profligate. It was a disgraceful, actually. I think that was a point where it was almost like you burn something to the ground just because you have it it was like real. That was kind of spoiled child energy. I'm not going to lie. There was one of those seconds I looked down and thought, everything fits. He gets the dressing room. Everything's good. I don't understand that. And to be fair to a lot of the playing staff, I didn't really like it either.
No.
But yeah, you know, still we move. And his reputation is stronger than ever. And
yeah,
could be on the way to yet another title.
And he could be on the way.
He would have four. Has he got four already? Four Champions Leagues already? I think he's got four.
He's got four.
Yeah. He'll have a fifth. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus. Quietly just easing. You know what it's like? It's like when Vettel just like calmly picked up four world championships. And it was just like calmly. How?
Yeah, but he never won another one after that. So it's like.
But do you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden he just had four. You're like, hang on a minute. How are you just like.
How many do you reckon he's going to win?
What, Ancelotti?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it fun. We never do stuff
honestly,
like this, so I don't know why.
Honestly, as many as he wants to. I could see that.
Really?
I could see that guy literally. I could see Ancelotti literally just like winning this and then just bouncing in 26. The thing about Ancelotti I think that helps him is he seems like quite a worldly person.
Yeah.
Like, you look at how Del Piero is just doing his coaching badges while he's doing his punditry. But he's actually, he's in his own lane. Ancelotti's like that. He could win a couple more, actually. Mm. There's a part of me that thinks that maybe he wants to see this Madrid team evolve into its full version. I don't know why I feel he wants to do that, but it just feels like he's really enjoying working with the young players. Arda Güler there, Mbappe potentially coming over. And we'll see how it all shapes up. Tchouaméni is not yet being unleashed in midfield. That's going to come at some point. The dream midfield of Camavinga, Tchouaméni and Valverde is on its way. Because they haven't made big recruitments in midfield now since then. And then Bellingham playing behind whoever. I just think he wants to see that era. And I think he can win a couple more. This and one more. How about yourself? What do you see for him?
Oh, I don't make predictions on that. I just wanted to bet you into doing one.
Oh, God. I've fallen for it again. Three straight Champions Leagues. Oh, God.
I really wanted you to say three straight Champions
Still
Leagues.
Still falling for it. I know. I could see it. I could see it. Yeah.
Let's just quickly talk about Barcelona losing to Girona in Girona. Barcelona, I think they just need the season to be done. Yeah, they've qualified for the Champions League, so it's fine. It doesn't really matter if they're third or second or fourth or whatever. But Girona are second with four games to go.
Yeah, the way that Girona like constructed goals, and they've been a better team all season in that sense, a more cohesive unit. And Barcelona have just been there's not been like a revolving door in their starting 11, but they haven't had the most settled of lineups, which is natural, Frank, given the recruitment.
Started positively though. Great goal from Andreas Christensen really early.
Yeah, yeah. Really great finish.
And then Dovbeck straight up the other end and equalises. He only got one in this game. Did I say he's got two? You said Porto got two.
Yeah,
you were right. Lewandowski penalty on right on the stroke of half time.
Earned by Lamine Yamal, who they rely on too much. Yeah. But anyway.
Porto 65 minutes. Gutierrez 67 minutes. Porto 64 minutes.
That volley.
That was so good. If you haven't seen the second Porto goal.
Unreal.
Go and watch
Francesco
it.
Totti would be proud of that one. That was an absolute, he laced it.
I think to be honest, like anyone would have been an unbelievable goal. Because it kind of, from the angle, it's just like, you can see it's like, he's going to hit this.
yeah, definitely, yeah.
And then it actually starts and it looks like it's going way wide.
It's similar to the Pavard goal. It's similar to Pavard, France, Argentina. Actually, just in terms of if anything, even cleaner. Is it possible is it cleaner than the Pavard one? But this was
well, unreal. Yeah, the Pavard one was a little bit different because he was running onto it, right?
Yeah, that bit of slice.
It's
sent to my little private hall of fame. There's also was a Rakitic one as well. The Rakitic volley against the Spurs. Yeah.
Oh my God, he hit that so hard that his shirt like
shirt
flew
off.
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yes, one of my favorites. Even his shirt was like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Ivan, steady on.
When your own volley creates a stiff breeze. That's how hard he hits
exactly. He was in his own slipstream. That's what it was.
Yeah. So good.
Anything else you want to touch on in La Liga, or do you want to?
No, that's it. Atleti got the result they needed. So, yeah, nothing else. Nothing else.
Oh, can we just talk about Athletic Club beating Getafe 2-0 on Friday, having two red cards?
Carlson red cards. Someone shouted that out, didn't they?
the Rijks House thing. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Seriously, man. It's like, you know. Getafe had 4.64 XG and 34 shots in this game.
It's unbelievable.
And lost 2-0. Athletic Club, yeah, 1-2-0 on a 0.62 XG and 7 total shots. Down to 9 men.
They'll miss out on Champions League, it looks like. It's just, I feel like they've just got too much to chase. They are 6 back of Atletico Madrid with
4
to go.
Yeah, it seems like a big ask.
Yeah, I feel like too much.
I reckon that'll do us for La Liga. Very, very quickly in the Bundesliga. A huge result for Stuttgart. Stuttgart being Bayern.
Yes. They're in with a chance of second, Stuttgart.
Yeah, they closed the gap on Bayern to 2 points. 3-1 win at home.
Quite a few players rested for Bayern, but still a pretty strong team.
Yeah,
Guerrero, Pavlovic in midfield is a good that's a good midfield. I mean, Lima raced it because Lima's running. Lima's probably still running over Bavaria. But the replacements that came in didn't do themselves the greatest.
Yeah,
favors.
Well, Guerrero went off very, very early. And Goretzka came on. It looks like Guerrero's going to be out for the second leg this week.
That's a bit of a loss for them.
Also, you know, I mean, he started Mazraoui.
Mazraoui is the one. Leg. Yeah, that's Alphonso Davies defensively has not had a good season. I think it's fair to say. But I think he's also a player just who needs a bit of a change. But Stuttgart, yes, to their credit, like, really impressive. And Silas, he's had such a journey the last couple of seasons, scoring the final one, the clincher. Yeah, I was really happy for him. Yeah, Stuttgart have had him, and credit to how Stuttgart have handled that whole situation. They've been so good.
Yes,
with him. Yeah, yeah.
We're recording this ahead of the Eintracht Leverkusen game, so who knows? Maybe Eintracht will end Leverkusen's unbeaten run. Dortmund beat Augsburg 5-1 at home. A goal for Marco Reus after they announcing that he will not be extending his contract and will leave in the summer.
That's
end of an era.
Oh, so it's so sad. If you look at all such an astonishing player, and I hate to mention injury in that sentence. You look at how many of the huge moments he's missed out on because of those injuries. I know if it was 2014 World Cup when they won and they were holding up his shirt number, like.
Yeah,
in Brazil, they were like that guy. Just an incredible, incredible. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think just injuries took the toll. Could have moved a few times.
Yeah,
I think staying put at Dortmund was, you know, grew up there, went to Gladbach, came back, and just, you see, I mean, he's obviously going to go down as a club legend. It'd be really interesting to see where he goes next. I mean, there'd be no better way to leave than
I know, right?
Avenging 2013 at Wembley. Right?
Unreal.
Do you know what? If that does happen, that will be one of the first times where I might actually agree that you couldn't even write it.
You couldn't write it.
Because it's too on the nose.
It is.
It's too on the nose.
It's wild. It's wild.
But we'll see. Big week for that. We'll talk about that.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, man, let's do some Premier League before we get out of here. Where would you like to begin?
I think we just have to sort of, and it wasn't the most exciting spectacle, but just Manchester City 5, Wolves 1, just because Erling Haaland in that form is just extraordinary. I think it was the fourth goal, the breakaway, that was the highlight, the breakaway goal, the touch, the movement clear, and then just the finish across the keeper. Just that is, when Erling Haaland's in that vein, you can't do anything with that. And also there's the crossfield pass from Foden, all of that. That just, you know, a moment that started the dominance. If I'm critical of Wolves, I will say they did seem strange. They seemed half a step slow to some of these challenges in the first half. And if you contrast the Wolves' performance, I often talk about, I think they were, they held them close in the first half until they had a sending off. If you contrast the intensity of the Wolves' performance like a couple of seasons ago at the Etihad with this, this felt very loose, actually. Mm. There was a strange lack of intensity in the first 45. I'm not quite sure why that was, but, you know, City in the mood they're in. You know, prior to this game, they had two more games to play than Arsenal. And I thought, actually, City winning the last four could be a bit of a stretch. And then seeing them in this game, I'm like, oh God, like, it's hard to see them dropping a point. It is hard to see them dropping a point.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry about that.
It's fine. Yeah.
They absolutely just crushed.
No, they did. I think a bit lucky with the first penalty, but it wouldn't have affected the game at all.
No, no.
Because they were just so much better. Maybe because Gary O'Neill wasn't on the touchline. Who knows?
Maybe.
But while, you know, Wolves having two shots and scoring one goal. So I still think that there are, I think we saw this against Forest as well, that like City can be kind of got at a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it just depends on, but yeah, I mean, it's probably going to go down to the last day. Arsenal are away at Man United next weekend, so who knows?
Arsenal have
strange though, because I feel like Arsenal fans have kind of accepted the fate a little bit. It's quite a chill. There aren't really many nerves at the moment. It's kind of a bit like, oh, it's fine. If we win the league, what a bonus. But
Arsenal's
like,
strange position because a routine 3-0 win over Bournemouth. If you look how good this Bournemouth team is, and not routine, you know, they scored the third late, but still, like, a 3-0 win over this Bournemouth team is a very impressive result. And yet, not that much fanfare because that's now the new level for Arsenal. And it's amazing.
Yeah, they beat him 4-0 away as well early on in the season.
But
it's the one where Drummond and Kai Havertz got the penalty.
Totally, but it's amazing how quickly that's become the new normal for us. Like, the normalization of a result like this, that's impressive. Like, and I think, I'm not trying to throw Arsenal fans a bone here, but like, that's such a big deal.
I was a bit surprised about the penalty stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's soft, but it's still like, this has just happened for years. Like, if a goalkeeper comes out like that, it's not your responsibility as an attacker to, like, you know, not hang a leg.
He sold it better than Saka sold it against Bayern. I'll say that much.
You know, it's not like the goalkeeper hasn't done anything and Kai Havertz has gone running over and, like, hung a leg out. It's like the keeper's flown out at you. I don't know. There seems to be some weird shit going on with just, like, decisions and stuff at the moment. Like, I mean, to be fair, though, on the decision front, I cannot believe the Bournemouth goal didn't stand. I just cannot believe it. I was like, yeah, I see why you might have thought that in real time, but you look at it again and you're just like, yes, Raya gets a nudge, but then he also has 2 feet on the floor again before he jumps.
Yeah,
Billing gets fouled. So just kind of level them up.
Right.
A bit.
And I think
just let it play out and like give them the goal, because it's like, there is... I think sometimes like there's just some grappling going on, right?
Yeah.
You can't police every single thing on a football field.
Right.
And with the goal, I don't think it would have been enough really, because I think Arsenal were still way superior to Bournemouth. And I think Iriola even said that afterwards. He was just like, you know, he talked about the refereeing a bit, but he didn't blame it.
This is why I quite like Anthony Taylor in a funny way, because I do get the feeling he's someone who evens... He's someone who tries to referee the flow of a game and just, I do feel that.
Yeah, but also though, Ryan Christie should have gone for that tackle on Saka. I cannot believe that's not a red card.
Didn't that's a case of not wanting to give a red too early? Didn't that's one of those?
So it shouldn't matter.
Look, I would give a red card in the my own energy, but if a red card is due in the first 2 minutes, you give a red card in the first 2 minutes.
To yourself.
That's my view on it.
That's what you...
It's not about me. Not about enough about me.
Brentford, Fulham drawing 0-0 in the West London derby. Newcastle putting four past Burnley.
I mean, Newcastle were great value for this. Isak, again, this season he's on is just...
He's a very good player.
He is. He looks... And it's just it's the body language, it's the confidence, it's the stride, all of it. It's just another level.
Yeah. Forest beating Sheffield United 3-1 to open up a 3-point gap on Luton, who drew 1-1 with Everton on Friday.
They look good, Forest, actually. They look good.
Yeah, they did have. They've looked pretty good in the last...
Pulling clear at the right time, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to fancy them over Luton at this point, I think.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that bottom three is going to go down. Well, I mean, obviously, Sheffield United are down. I think the rest of them are down, yeah.
It's just the Nottingham Forest decisive, getting that, I mean, I said decisive. They should have actually got something against Man City, but that's not the story. But in these games, these crucial head-to-heads, they've really pulled clear. Whereas Luton, by contrast, they just make heavy weather, actually. They make heavy weather of matches where they should get slightly more. They were ascendant in the closing stages. And again, their failure to convert momentum into victories, I think, is what's going to do for them. Which is a shame. A real shame. Made some great stuff this year.
Just very quickly, Sassuolo beating Inter in Serie A. 1-0.
Maybe that's a post-championship hangover. Who knows?
I don't know, man. But they did it on 0.3 XG and 24% possession. So love that. Just a quick one before we go. Inter Miami 6, New York Red Bulls 2.
Oh, the Messi masterclass. Oh, my God. Yeah, the Messi masterclass every so often, just to remind you he's there. Just to remind you that he's cooking. There's that time in that... Do you remember the time he was warming up for the World Cup when he got the... was it all five against Estonia? It felt like that. Like, sometimes he just goes supernova.
Five assists, like, and a goal.
He goes out there and he's on one. Yeah, he's out there and he's on one. There's one that he threads through. I think it's for the third, where he just puts it through three players. Oh, Jesus, that guy.
He's having a nice time.
Having a lovely time, Mammy, yeah.
All right, man. Let's get out of here. Hope everyone's staying safe, staying well. We'll be back on Wednesday with the first of two Champions League podcasts this week. Again, sorry, we missed the Sunday afternoon games and evening games. But yeah, unfortunately, we had to record this Sunday morning.
Yes.
Don't forget to check Righty's House on Tuesday. Carl and Flo will be on then. Yeah, don't forget to check Counterpress for all the WSL stuff, because we're recording this ahead of a massive game, Man City Arsenal today. Huge game in the title race. So make sure you go check Counterpress. And don't forget to check the Stadio Outros players on Spotify. Speaking of which, we're playing out on Sheer Magic by Ice Cold Love. Anything you'd like to add, Musa?
Nothing further.
All right, everyone, much love. We'll be back with you on Wednesday.
See you then.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.